Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for the Get Ready Show! Best in pro wrestling talk.
And that's the bottom line. Because Stone Cold Texas. This right here is the future of wrestling.
And it begins now.
Tuned in to the Ken Reedy Show, the best in pro wrestling talk. Thank you all for kind of hanging out on this Monday evening as we give you some of our reactions and get you set for Monday Night Raw tonight as we are on the fast lane to WrestleMania. So you want to hear your voice heard, you want to talk to us, give us a call tonight, 347-838-9815. That is the number to call. 347-838-9815 is the number to call. Check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/The Ken Reedy Show. Again, that is facebook.com/The Ken Reedy Show. Head on over there now. If you haven't done so already, get on board, like it. And now, right now on the page, we got a show chat going. So you can get on the page if you got opinions, you know, and you can't get a phone call in, but you want your voice heard, get on there right now. React to what we're saying here. Give us your opinion. And if it's good stuff, we may just read it right here on the air. Later on tonight, during Monday Night Raw, we'll have a Monday Night Raw chat on the Facebook page as well. So get on over to that Facebook page. You want to be a part of the conversation over there. Again, facebook.com/The Ken Reedy Show. Our handle on the old Twitter. If tweeting is your thing, get on a Twitter, follow us, at The Ken Reedy Show is our Twitter account. Again, that is at The Ken Reedy Show. And we have our website, thekenreedyshow.com. You can listen to the show there. We got blogs, we got pictures, we got lots of great stuff over there on the website. So get on over there, check out thekenreedyshow.com. And if you want to subscribe to us, the new incredible venture that we've been going, I keep saying new, but we're coming close to a... It's going to be a year soon, I think over the summer-ish we started, I don't know, 1640, PWPR. We started this new platform, this new network, this new radio station, whatever you want to call it, 1640, PWPR. You got access to a bunch of different podcasts, slash radio shows, slash entertaining ventures, talking about fights, talking about wrestling. You want to get on board. It's so easy. This thing keeps growing in leaps and bounds. We're like over 50,000 hits. Well, thank you to everyone that continues to support 1640. Go to iTunes. Do the search. Again, it's easy. 1640 PWPR. Click subscribe. It's for free. That's right. It's for free. So you click subscribe. You're automatically subscribed. You got our show on there. You got great other shows. You got that Image guy is on there. Joey Image, his podcast. Independent wrestling star. He's on the network. He's talking about stuff. King Firehawk. Whole bunch of great shows on the network. Head on over there. Again, I can't stress enough, it is for free. Subscribe today. 1640 PWPR. And if you think you got what it takes, if you think you got what it takes, you might not. I mean, we might not put you on the network, but if you think you might have a shot, send us some stuff. Send us a link to one of your shows. You got an established podcast already and you want to be on the network, email me, email King Firehawk, give us a link. we'll give your show a listen, and maybe we'll put you on the network. And that's what this network is all about. It's all about, you know, our audience listening to other people's shows and other people's shows coming on to our show. And it's just kind of this, it's a community. It's just good stuff. It's peace, love, and happiness. So if you think you got what it takes, you got a show, you want to be part of the 1640 family, send us an email. We'll give a listen. Maybe you, too, can be part of 1640 PWPR. Lots of stuff to get into tonight in the world of pro wrestling as we head on down that road to WrestleMania. Lots of stuff going on. AJ Styles, the Royal Rumble just happened. The Beast Incarnate on his way. Fastlane coming up. Lots of stuff to get into and discuss. And couldn't do it without my tag team partner, who is on the line. Dave, how you doing this evening?
With WrestleMania season in full swing, there's no shortage of pro wrestling talk from you and I. But let's just get right into it.
Yeah, first off, before we get into the fun stuff and the dissecting of things and all the you know, stuff we love to do here, a little bit of sobering news that broke today. And, you know, Bret Hart, if you haven't heard yet, Bret Hart announced today via social media that he is, in fact, fighting prostate cancer. He will be having surgery shortly because of the prostate cancer, to treat the prostate cancer. You know, if you want to see the full release, we did post a link to that on our Facebook page. You know, Brett, you know, I was a huge fan of Bret Hart. I was a Bret guy. I've always said it was always difficult for me to get into Shawn Michaels as a wrestler because I was a Bret guy. And consequently, because of that, I had to hate Shawn Michaels. And it's sobering when you hear, you know, one of your heroes battling the unfortunate C word. But they came out today. I was always a big fan. And if anyone could fight this, it's Bret. So all of us here at the Ken Reedy Show, obviously we are sending Bret all the well wishes we can, positive vibes and all that other good stuff. But again, sobering news, Dave, when you get all caught up with, you know, storylines and, you know, who's burying who and what should they do for WrestleMania. And you talk about it with such importance and everything, and it's fun, ultimately. When you get hit with something like this, it's very sobering news. And again, sending in positive vibes.
Very, very unfortunate for Bret the Hitman Hart. Love him or hate him. He made it clear in his statement that he's going to fight this. And, you know, he appreciates all the love and support from all of his fans. And, you know, I'm not the biggest Bret Hart guy. I've liked Bret, but I'm not a huge fan. But my best wishes to you. You know, let's hope that, you know, you can beat this thing. Cancer is ugly. It doesn't take a day off, and there's no exception to anybody, whether you're a celebrity or you're a nobody. So, you know, best wishes and, you know, hashtag fight Bret fight.
And I'll tell you, man, you know, one of the things with Bret, and it's been tough in recent years, you know, he has been the happiest of campers. He's been very critical at times of wrestling, the wrestling business and everything. If there's anything positive that could come out of this, I hope Bret is taken back and recognizes, like, how many people he's affected positively through his wrestling career, how many people are fans. I mean, you know, as a wrestling fan, I mean, that's all you saw today on social media. Like you said, the hashtag fight Bret fight. You know, so you just hope that Bret realizes that there's literally millions of people out there that are pulling for him. And again, best wishes to Bret in this battle. But let's get into, you know, again, the fun stuff. I mean, you know, sometimes we got to talk about things like that, but let's get into some of the fun stuff. And what's got to be really a lot of fun, at least for me to just kind of picture, is Vince McMahon sitting in, whether it's the gorilla position or the AV room or his office or wherever he is, and just watching The Rock say, I'm going to go off script and think about how he must be squirming or like throwing things in his office, or just be sitting there like, oh, Jesus, what's The Rock going to do now? And, I guess that was like coming out of last week's Raw. I mean, highly entertaining. I joked, man, like when The Rock got out of his truck last week, holy cow. I mean, did he have like three scoops of his pre-workout? That dude was bouncing off the walls when he got out of his truck. Funny stuff, but, you know, as it, like The Rock comes out, and as a fan, everyone loves it. And then it's like, you know, number one, does the WWE have a sexism problem? And number two, like all the fans that were dressed up in the front row. And, oh, my God, The Rock said Hulk Hogan. So as much as a fan, it's like a fun-loving, hey, look, we got a little bit of classic Rock to entertain us on a Monday Night Raw. He goes off script, causing, I mean, it wasn't earth-shattering, but Dave, you know, caused a little bit of controversy over the course of the week.
Well, yeah, I mean, his appearance was you know, speculated on our show and, you know, other wrestling media outlets. And for what he did, I mean, it was funny. You know, The Rock, I've said before, he's in a class by himself when it comes to him and the microphone. You know, you can talk about the best stickman in the business, and you put him right up there in the top three, top five maybe. And the stuff he did, you know, going off script, I mean, that's what makes it so much fun. That's what makes him, you know, who he is. And, I mean, you can't say for all the money in the world that in his heyday, you know, The Rock was, you know, word for word scripting everything in his promos back in the day, you know, during the Attitude Era. Rock was a very off-the-cuff kind of guy, and that's how he became so damn entertaining and became the big star that he is today. So I thought that was pretty funny and pretty cool that he did that. You know, big deal if McMahon and the rest of the, you know, the management in the back were freaking out over it, but it made for some funny TV. I did enjoy the exchange he had with New Day. I thought the stuff was good. Good for New Day to get involved in a segment with The Rock, get a little bit of a rub. You know, add that to their resume. But I was kind of disappointed that he just came in just to do that and didn't really make his intentions clear for WrestleMania, which I imagine his intentions will become more clear in the next, you know, month and a half or so, maybe in the next 2 months as we get closer to WrestleMania. But I was pretty disappointed. He kept saying, are you ready for WrestleMania? Ready for WrestleMania? He kept asking everybody if they were ready. And then this New Day promo came out. Yes, and albeit that was great, I just was disappointed that whatever role he's having on the show, it hadn't been determined yet. And for me as a fan, I would have liked to have seen that. I think a lot of people would have as well. On the other hand, maybe some people doesn't necessarily care for that. As long as he's on the show, it doesn't matter what he's doing. But overall, it was fun stuff. The stuff he did with, you know, the guys dressed up in the front row. And just overall, in general, his appearance definitely helped Raw. And truly, I mean, the WWE kind of does a disservice to themselves when they put him out there and he blows it away at the microphone. It's a telling sign as to what the rest of your roster is like holding a stick.
Yeah, and that's just it. I mean, it becomes a telling sign of you know, it's a weird kind of vibe because you see The Rock come out and you just wonder, you know, Vince, like, are you not seeing this? Are you not seeing, and I'm not saying that we necessarily have another Rock anywhere on the roster. I mean, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, he's something special. You know, he's in a rarefied air as far as what he can do on the microphone. However, he got there because he had a lot of freedom to kind of develop that character, to kind of, quote, go off script early in his career, to kind of get to a place where he's comfortable on that mic. And you just wonder why there isn't a little bit more freedom for some of the newer guys to kind of develop that character, develop their style, develop their cadence. I mean, there is no better way to learn how to give an effective promo in front of a live audience unless you give a promo in front of a live audience. You can practice all you want. You can sit and look in the mirror. You can make facial expressions. You can practice on your own. You know, you can practice with a microphone. But unless you're in front of a live audience cutting a promo, it just you're never going to get any good at it. And it just seems like the WWE has gotten so caught up with that, like, idea of scripting promos that a lot of these guys come off as stale and mechanical. And then you're right, man. Like, you know, it's like you kind of get lulled into this, like, all right, these are WWE promos. And you don't realize, like, and I don't want to rip on people, but it's like you don't realize how bad they are until someone like The Rock comes in. And until a guy like The Rock is going off script and you're like, oh, yeah, yeah, that's what you're missing now. On the 3 hours of Raw that we've, you know, that dead horse has been beaten a million times. But when we talk about 3 hours, yeah, if you had a couple of guys on the roster that could cut you a really solid promo, you know, and eat up some time and not, like, boring you, but giving you, like, a juicy, meaty promo, that would help a lot. And The Rock, when he comes back and cuts promos like that, really puts the spotlight on the lack of effective promo work that occurs on WWE television. I think you're right, Dave. The role at WrestleMania kind of left me a little bit flat. You know, it was fun. It was entertaining. I had a good time with it. I chuckled. He's The Rock. He's great at it. But I wanted to see, you know, I wanted to hear what he's going to be doing at WrestleMania. The intriguing thing is the way everything played itself out. It was almost, you know, for me, like knowing that The Rock is going to have some sort of involvement at WrestleMania, you think about all these big, lofty plans, matches, whatever that he could have at WrestleMania. You know, there was the talk against Triple H. You know, the rumors were swirling, Brock and Rock. You know, at this point, Dave, is it possible when you have, like, what happened on Raw last night that either a six-man tag or just the Rock is in the Usos' corner to keep New Day honest at WrestleMania? He's just kind of a corner man on that day.
I don't think for the Usos, no. I think, if anything, he'll be a corner man for Reigns against Triple H for the WWE title. I think that could go 50-50. I think the reason why they would go that direction is to try and get the positive reaction that they want Reigns to receive as a babyface by having somebody as popular and as polarizing as The Rock. But we saw what happened last year at the Royal Rumble when you put The Rock in the same ring with Roman Reigns. It did not get the reaction that they wanted. So I'm kind of curious as to what they have planned for The Rock. I mean, The Rock has stated on social media when they made the big announcement that he was going to be a part of WrestleMania. Excuse my French, but he said that, you know, they were going to break records and he was going to do some next level type of shit at WrestleMania. So I'm kind of curious as to what that exactly is going to be. You know, I can't imagine it being anything less than what he's done before. You know, the past few years he's just made non-wrestling roles at WrestleMania. The awesome exchange with him and Ronda Rousey against the Authority last year, the year before, the big, torch-passing beer bash with Hulk Hogan and Steve Austin in New Orleans. So, I mean, it's definitely going to be something pretty cool that he's going to be involved in. I'm kind of hoping he's involved in the Reigns Triple H angle to kind of add some juice to that match, because I have a feeling that, you know, his role in that match is important and needed, especially if they're trying to build up Roman Reigns to be a big deal moving forward and to be the number one guy. And there's different ideas that I can get into as to how that could work with The Rock involved that we'll discuss at a later date. Or if you want to discuss it now, by all means, I have no problem doing that either. But needless to say, whatever he does, Rock's star level is definitely going to help WrestleMania.
Well, yeah, and you know, I mean, a guy like that's always going to help WrestleMania. You just, you know, you hope. I mean, you bring up a good point. I mean, it's incredible, and that goes back to our show last week. You know, when or do you pull the plug on the Roman Reigns experiment? You know, that idea, you know, The Rock coming down and embracing Roman Reigns did not get Reigns cheered. It got Rock booed. If that's even possible, you know, I mean, that's incredible. You know, so when you look at that, you wonder, you know, is that going to be enough? I mean, The Rock comes down in Reigns' corner and Reigns is going after the title again. Is that enough? Or, you know, do they have to scramble and wind up doing something else at WrestleMania? You know, I hope that whatever they do with Rock, that at some point, somehow, they get a mic in his hand. But it goes back to our conversation last week. Like I said, you know, are they still going to go forward with this Roman Reigns experiment, or is it time to move on? And it's just, it's not going to work. So I do think it makes for some interesting talk moving forward. As you look at this WrestleMania season and you look at, you know, the guys that they have, and between, you know, knowing that The Rock is going to have some sort of role, knowing, like, all the injuries that have occurred on the roster, knowing that the Roman Reigns experiment has not gone according to plan, when you put all that in play, it really makes for when the WWE is trying to put together the biggest WrestleMania ever, you know, there's a lot of question marks, which is going to be a lot of fun for those of us who do shows like this and got to put our fantasy booking hats on every now and again and speculate exactly what direction they're going to go in. And the dirt sheets are all a flutter of, you know, potential matchups and what are they going to do now with this guy and who should go after the championship and how are they going to sell 100,000 seats. And, well, the crown jewel for years now at WrestleMania, year in and year out, and I know he lost, but it's still, you know, who's The Undertaker going to wrestle at WrestleMania? He had the streak for years, but he's still at the high-end character. He's still a selling point for WrestleMania. It's still a big deal because he is a part-timer. Who is Taker going to go up against at WrestleMania? The big thing that I'm sure the WWE is looking at, a huge selling point, rumor was it was going to be John Cena, which is very intriguing to me. Would have been intriguing just due to the fact that I don't see Taker losing again at WrestleMania, but against John Cena, that's a big, big question mark. So there's a lot of intrigue as far as the outcome. John Cena's on the shelf. Another, you know, interesting thing, where do we go with The Undertaker? Like I said, dirt sheets all a flutter. And the rumor that we're hearing is Braun Strowman, to go up against The Undertaker at WrestleMania. And I have some major issues with that. And I know Dave does too, so I'm going to shut up for a little bit. I'll get to my issues, but I want, because I know, Dave, you're a little bit heated when you heard this. I don't like it at all. Like, I'm just going to let you loose. Like, why? Like, what are the problems with booking Taker Strowman for WrestleMania?
First of all, excuse my French again, but I fucking hate that idea. Absolutely hate that idea. There were rumors that they wanted to do Braun Strowman and Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania, and I hated that idea too. I mean, I understand you're trying to build for the future, but somebody who has limited ability like him in the ring, like, he's like equivalent to like the skill level of the great Khali. You know, when Khali started out, I don't like it at all. It makes every single Undertaker match prior to this match meaningless. I mean, if you think about it here, I mean, Undertaker's had these phenomenal matches with, you know, the CM Punk's. Well, actually, I shouldn't really count his because I don't like CM Punk. It was a good match, but Michaels, Triple H, Batista, Edge, I guess you could say CM Punk. He had a decent showing against Bray Wyatt last year. You know, the big match in New Orleans, the streak match, wasn't great bell-to-bell, but the shock factor was there. Nobody saw it coming. I mean, you put him in there with Braun Strowman, it's like, it'll almost be like watching an episode of SmackDown back in 2007 when he was wrestling the great Khali. I don't think a guy like Strowman is ready. The rumor is that they want to do him and Big Show at Fastlane so he can go over Big Show to get him ready for Undertaker. However, I just read this morning that the Wrestling Observer is saying that Strowman and Undertaker is not on the books, not on the card, which leads me to a couple of things. One, I probably think that they realize, well, shit, you know, this is Undertaker we're talking about here. Yes, I know he's going to work with a young guy, and giving this guy the rub is good and all, but considering the circumstances with the injured roster and WrestleMania being in the shape that it's in, this is going to be a huge letdown in Texas for Undertaker. So it kind of leads me to believe, and I'll go on a limb saying this. I'm not predicting it, but I'm strongly hinting that there is a good chance that John Cena could be back in time for WrestleMania against The Undertaker. I mean, his shoulder surgery, it was a success. Cena's been known to heal up quicker his neck injury in 2007, or 2008, the triceps tear in 2007. You know, he's had a few other injuries after that where he's come back quicker than people expected him to. You know, he's a freak in the gym genetically, and it would not surprise me if he were to come back around March, I'd say, and to start a build-up with Undertaker. Do that match, and then Cena leaves. Cena just works WrestleMania, then he leaves to continue rehab. Or he's back full-time again like he normally was, like he normally was scheduled to be. I think there's a strong possibility that that's the case. And I say that because Cena's been throwing pictures and videos out there on social media of his workout and his rehab. And I don't know. I just can't. I'm not counting him out yet. Let's just put it that way. I'm really not counting him out. And I'm hoping that he does come back selfishly just so that we don't see Braun Strowman and Undertaker. I just don't think it's a WrestleMania-worthy matchup. Maybe at a B-level pay-per-view like a Fastlane or a Night of Champions or even a Hell in a Cell, but not at a WrestleMania. Not at a WrestleMania whatsoever. I think it's awful, and it would definitely make Undertaker's match and his role at WrestleMania, it would feel diminished if you put him in there with Braun Strowman. And I'm sure that the guy is going to be talented someday, and they see dollar signs on him because he's enormous, and they probably want to make him into the next Kane, the next Big Show, because of the way that he's been going through big guys as of late. But I wouldn't put him in there with Undertaker. If anything, if you wanted to do something with Braun Strowman at WrestleMania, you make him a big focal point of the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, but not against Undertaker. I think it's an awful idea.
Yeah, and I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, I think that number one, you kind of discredit and diminish everything that the Undertaker has done. Number two, it's just, you know, as we're getting close to the end of the Undertaker's career, you know, I mean, who knows? This could be his last WrestleMania. You know, number three, you know, there's no suspense. I mean, Taker's winning this match. And the other thing on the other side of the coin for Strowman, I mean, Strowman's still, like you said, I mean, he's 32 years old. Okay. I think that's, you know, a guy that size, if used the right way, there's a lot you can do with him. If you try to do like a quick build, a few months to make him look like a monster, just so it can make sense for him to go against The Undertaker, just so he can lose to The Undertaker. I don't know if it's good for Strowman either. I just don't think it's a good move for everybody. I agree with you, Dave, whether it's the Andre the Giant Battle Royal or he doesn't even have a match. And whatever Bray is doing, we make sure Strowman is there in his corner and maybe he does something like devastating in that match to just show like how unbelievably strong he is. But he's a guy, like, I mean, he's a specimen when you look at him, but he's not good in the ring. The other thing, like health-wise, I mean, if I'm the Undertaker, I don't necessarily want to get in the ring with him. I'm definitely not trying anything crazy, which, again, will diminish the quality of the match. So I just think it's bad for everybody. It's bad for Taker's career. It diminishes his role at WrestleMania. It's bad for Strowman. I just don't think it works. And I know we're all commenting on a rumor, but if anyone's listening to all the podcasts and dirt sheets and opinions and anything else out there, none of us are in favor of this sort of matchup. And you're right. I mean, there was a picture, you know, John Cena's got an adaptive bar that he's using now so he can get in the gym and squat because he can't actually lift his arm to hold the bar, but he's in the gym at least doing legs and doing squats. He is a freak of nature. If there's any way that Cena could be back for this, he will be. And the other thing with a match such as this, especially with The Undertaker, and let's face it, a lot of The Undertaker's matches have just for WrestleMania are like just getting challenged. So if Cena comes, you don't need a huge build. If Cena is able to come back and he's, you know, thinks he's going to be ready for WrestleMania and at least he's ready to come back and cut a promo, yeah, Cena could walk back in there. He could, like, you know, cut a promo in the beginning of March on Monday Night Raw and say, there's so many things I've accomplished over the course of my career. You know, I've done a lot, but, you know, I want Taker at WrestleMania. You know, and there you go. There it is. There's a storyline. There's the build. There it is. So, all you need is for Cena to be, you know, at least the prognosis for him to be healthy at WrestleMania to cut the promo, he's just got to be healthy enough to hold a microphone. So,
well,
remains to be good. What'd you say, Dave?
You know, well, I mean, if you remember a few years back at WrestleMania 27, you know, Triple H and The Undertaker, that was the big, that was one of the big marquee matches for that WrestleMania in Atlanta. That was the first, actually, I should say that was the second match that the two of them had. And, you know, if you go back and you remember, you know, in the fall of 2010, Undertaker was written off of TV because he had rotator cuff surgery for his shoulder. And he technically wasn't scheduled to return for WrestleMania, but he came back early to work WrestleMania and work against Triple H. And the reason why he was off for a year following that is because he re-injured his shoulder in the match with Triple H. Now, I'm not saying that I want John Cena to come back and re-injure himself just for the sake of me, selfishly as a wrestling fan, seeing him wrestle against The Undertaker, but it would not surprise me if something like this were to occur, where if Cena was, you know, not ahead of schedule, but if he was doing okay and they just had him work this one match just to help sell WrestleMania, and then he takes a sabbatical following that, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me one single bit. It's not the first time that WWE's done something like this before.
No, we'll see what happens. Again, you know, I do find it very interesting at this time of year with the injuries and with everything else going on in the WWE that it leaves you open for a lot of fun fantasy booking. 347-838-9815 is the number to call. You know, it's about that time. After the break, we're going to dissect our thoughts so far on AJ Styles and what he's done in the WWE in his short tenure thus far. Is the AJ Styles thing working? We will discuss. We want to hear from you. Give us a call. But right now, it is time for the Day 5 50-50 News Report.
Good evening. You know what? You all know what time it is. Ears open, mouths shut. It's time for the most informative pro wrestling news to be delivered as only I can. This is the Day 5. Now, this wouldn't be possible without a little help from our friends at 1640 PWPR, Pro Wrestling Podcast Radio Network, and more. Subscribe for free on iTunes right now to be a part of the evolution of Pro Wrestling Podcast Radio. Now, let's not wait any longer. Time for the news. The Wrestling Observer reports this week that after neurologists at UCLA had cleared Daniel Bryan to return to active in-ring action, the rest of the roster backstage at the Royal Rumble 8 days ago were expecting a Bryan return as a surprise entry in the Rumble match. The Observer also states that WWE officials had told Bryan recently that he would not be cleared to return to action and that there were other non-wrestling roles discussed for the leader of the Yes Movement. Allegedly, Bryan pled his case to Vince McMahon, who also said Bryan wouldn't get clearance, but didn't say that this was indeed 100% accurate. Needless to say, Bryan still needs to be cleared by WWE's head physician, Dr. Joseph Maroon, in order to return to active competition in WWE. As of right now, we can only take this as simply speculation. Speaking of backstage banter, former WWE superstar Batista was backstage at the Royal Rumble event in Orlando to discuss a possible role at WrestleMania 32 with Vince McMahon. The appearance was allegedly a one-and-done kind of deal. Not sure if a match was offered or simply a non-wrestling role. Reportedly, Batista turned down the offer, but word is that Batista would entertain the idea of appearing at WrestleMania if WWE Creative comes up with other ideas. Lucha Underground kicked off their second season premiere last week and talked backstage at the TV tapings that a third season has been greenlighted on the El Rey Network. The organization began taping season two in late 2015. This past weekend's tapings were for Season 2's season finale. Company officials did inform talent that episodes of Lucha Underground will be available on iTunes in the coming months for those who are without the El Rey Network. Tapings for the upcoming third season could start as early as March, but those plans are not definitive yet. To those who thought we would see a Hardys reunion in WWE in the very near future, don't hold your breath. TNA President Dixie Carter announced on social media this week that the company have come to terms with Jeff Hardy on a new agreement. Hardy's deal with TNA was set to expire in the next few months, and with TNA now receiving rights fees to air Impact from Pop TV, available funds helped secure the deal with the Charismatic Enigma. This deal is expected to be a multi-year contract, but specifics surrounding the deal are unknown at this time. And in our final story this week, the long-awaited signing of one of the most talented and gifted Japanese wrestlers has finally come to fruition, as Shinsuke Nakamura has officially signed with WWE. An announcement regarding his signing made the rounds on social media this week, following the announcement of his debut match with WWE at the NXT TakeOver Dallas event Friday, April the 1st, during WrestleMania weekend. His opponent for that event will be no other than Sami Zayn. The announcement, which garnered a huge reaction at the tapings as well as all over the wrestling community, was made during an NXT TV taping last week. Nakamura finished out his obligation to New Japan Pro Wrestling over the weekend, and his send-off was said to be very emotional and heartfelt, according to reports. Nakamura is expected to report to the WWE Performance Center in Orlando, Florida, in the coming weeks for medical evaluations and to get accustomed to the training facility and the surrounding area of the facility. And there you have it, folks, the best damn wrestling news report in all of pro wrestling podcast scene, bar none, has come and gone. However, for a transcript of tonight's news, head on over to the official Facebook accounts of both The Ken Reed Show and 1640 PWPR immediately following tonight's broadcast, in case you missed anything. Now let's kick it back to Ken for more of that pro wrestling talk we've become so famous for.
Good stuff, as always. Very comprehensive news report. Let's go out to the phones. I think our friend Justin's on the line. We'll talk to him in a little while. Justin, is this you?
It is me, Ken.
Hey, Justin. Woo! What's up, bro, Chacho?
I missed you, Ken.
Miss you too, man. I got to ask you, you know, did you get to watch the Royal Rumble?
Not really.
Okay, then. Well, you heard what happened. The Triple H is the champ?
Yes, he is. I love him.
Oh, so you're a big Triple H guy?
Yes, I am, Ken.
So you're psyched that he's champion?
Oh, yes, he is. He's so athletic.
He is athletic. You're correct. Yeah, so you heard last week on Raw that they're going to do a triple threat match for the number one contendership. So, you know, it's going to be Roman Reigns versus Ambrose versus Brock Lesnar. Who do you think is going to win that match?
Roman Reigns.
You think Reigns is going to win, so he's going to go after the title of WrestleMania?
Yes, he is.
Okay. You kind of like your answers tonight are very short.
You got that right, Ken. What a ham.
So what else are you looking forward to tonight on Monday Night Raw? Anything you're really looking forward to? I'm assuming you're watching tonight, right? What do you want to see?
I want to see The Undertaker's career.
You want to see his whole career tonight on Raw?
I want to see The Undertaker.
I would like to see Undertaker tonight, too. That would be cool if he surprised us all and showed up tonight on Monday Night Raw. That's good. It would be cool to see the surprise. Last week we had The Rock as kind of a surprise. This week, The Undertaker. That would be neat. Before I let you go, though, I got to ask you, you know, I'm sure you probably saw, but I got to ask, are you excited about the new show coming out on the network, The Edge and Christian Show?
Yes, I am, Ken. I'm so excited.
I'm glad you're excited, Justin. Thanks a lot for the phone call. Don't be a stranger. Call us again real soon, all right, brother?
All right, and tell Dave he's the man.
I will make sure Dave gets that message.
Okay.
All right, take it easy, brother.
Ken, you're the man, too.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I love when you call, man. It's just like it's a feel-good few minutes when you call. We beef up our egos, you know, feel good about what we're doing here. You're the man, Justin.
Thank you, Ken.
All right, I'll talk to you soon, man.
All right.
Take it easy. And our friend Justin, I don't know if you heard that, Dave, but you're the man.
Well, thank you. I know I am the man, but thank you.
So, there we go. So from Justin, Justin always full of compliments, and we're going to back to the phones in just like a couple minutes, but I wanted to touch on this. I think it's also a good convo piece for some of our callers. AJ Styles. Interesting stuff with AJ. You know, talented dude, but a guy, you know, let's call a spade a spade. You know, when you look at AJ Styles, great in-ring talent, very athletic, love watching him work. At times in his career, mic work has been suspect, not consistently good. Sometimes character-wise, he can lag a little bit. You know, he's not the guy that you look at and say, wow, he's really charismatic. You know, and it was interesting. I honestly, and I'm curious, 347-838-9815, I'm curious your thoughts. Last night on Raw, I got to be honest, I was psyched when I saw AJ Styles versus Jericho. I didn't think the match was very good at all. I thought it was, I'm not going to sit here and say, oh my God, that match sucked. But it seemed off. The timing seemed off. They seemed awkward together. It appeared as if that Jericho was calling a lot. And I get it that AJ is new, but it still looked like he was calling a lot for someone who, I know he's new to the WWE, but he's still a veteran in the wrestling business. So it was just, it was one of those weird things that I was expecting a lot of that match. I didn't think it was good. Now, I know. I get it. Like, this is what we do. I know I'm not supposed to be taking a pulse this early in his WWE career, but hell, I have a show, so that's what I do. The thing that I would be concerned about a little bit with AJ Styles, and that whole idea that, you know, guys now, you know, they come in and fans and everything. We all, like, we see these guys come in. It's like, no, debut them on the main roster. Don't make them go to NXT. Bring them on the main roster. And on one hand, and I would be one of those guys, you bring AJ in, put him on the main roster. However, you got to look at the other side of the coin. That could AJ going to NXT for a month, a couple months, get his feet under him as far as the WWE style, wrestling style, and then come into the main roster, you know, might be better for him. Again, it's too early to take a temperature. But when I see what I saw last week, I kind of think that AJ is a guy that for the AJ Styles, for the phenomenal one, for that character to get over because of his lack of ability. I don't say lack of ability, but, you know, not being his strong suit, talking on the mic and building a character. For him to get over, he's got to have some pretty amazing matches. He's going to get over based on his in-ring work. And, you know, I know wrestling fans, we've seen him. You know, but there are a lot of fans out there that are purely WWE fans that, you know, this is that they may have heard of AJ, but now they're getting to see him for the first time. And I just didn't think the match lived up to expectations at all. And I'm really hoping that it was just kind of a glitch, growing pains. Who knows, Dave? Maybe it was even nerves. You know, his first night out there on Monday Night Raw, his first singles match in a WWE ring. But I got to admit, I was a little taken back at how rough I thought the match went.
Yeah, it didn't live up to expectations. I will agree with you. I think it started off a little rocky at best. You know, bad timing, maybe even chemistry not the greatest with Jericho. You know, here's another thing to take into account too. Not trying to fault Jericho, but since Jericho has returned, his first official match, at least on TV, was at the Royal Rumble, and he went over 51 minutes in the Royal Rumble match. And then the next night, he's got a singles match with AJ Styles. So maybe I wouldn't say lay some of the blame on Jericho, but I'm sure that whatever he contributed to it was part of the reason why the match didn't go off as well as others had hoped. Could it be, like you said, nerves? Very possible. Could it be, you know, just he hasn't worked the WWE style? Yes, that's very possible. Who knows? I mean, the positive coming out of this, though, is that, number one, they still treat AJ like he's a big deal, new guy on the block, you know, really driving home the point of all the success he's had outside of WWE without naming companies he's worked for, like TNA, for instance. And the fact that Jericho endorsed him after the match, I thought that was pretty good with the handshake and raising his hand. Like I said, it started out a little rocky, but it picked up, you know, in the middle and towards the end. So I think maybe, like you said, it just was some kind of growing pains. Maybe, and to me, I thought it was cool that he wrestled Jericho. I was digging the announcement, but I thought maybe that's something that they would save for a pay-per-view. But then again, in today's landscape of WWE, they care more about the ratings on Raw than they do about, you know, the success of their pay-per-views with buy rates and network subscriptions. So, then again, it doesn't surprise me that him and Jericho wrestled on Raw. I would have maybe liked to have seen him, not necessarily squash guys, but but have a few matches with some undercard talent, maybe, to kind of get his feet wet on the main roster before you really put him in there with Jericho. That's what I would have done, but, you know, each his own. Let's hope that, you know, tonight and moving forward, we see, you know, we'll see some progression from him. I'm curious as to what his role will be at WrestleMania, considering the amount of talent that is not, you know, scheduled to be a part of WrestleMania. That's what I'm curious of. What position are they going to put him on the card, especially, you know, a guy of his caliber and the way that they've built him up his first week on TV? Are they just going to throw him in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal and make him like everybody else on the roster? You're going to give him a singles match against somebody, or maybe like a multi-man ladder match of some kind? Where are you going to fit AJ Styles into the equation at WrestleMania?
I think it's an excellent question. I mean, I think, you know, as we talk about fantasy booking and going forward, I have no idea. I really have no idea. And I'm really, you know, I'm curious to see how AJ evolves, or the AJ character evolves. And, you know, I think you bring up a really good point when it comes to Styles, that maybe, you know, him going up against, you know, some lower tier guys, is, you know, as far as his first few matches, may have been a better way. Almost kind of like that whole idea of, you know, we're not going to send him down to NXT to get comfortable, to bring him up to the main roster, but we're going to keep him on the main roster, and his quote unquote development will be going up against some lower tier talent, get some wins under his belt, get to, you know, perform you know, his moveset and get comfortable before you move him up against guys like Jericho and other main event type guys. But remains to be seen. I mean, the guy is talented as hell. The guy has put on 5-star matches. I just, you know, as a fan, when you're like just getting really pumped for a matchup and it doesn't deliver, you know, it's kind of a red flag. So early stages of AJ Styles' career in the WWE, where will it go? Where will he go for WrestleMania? You know, where will his character go? It remains to be seen. But lots of stuff to talk about. You want to call in? You want to talk some fantasy booking from WrestleMania season? The first half hour, we talk Rock, we talk Taker, we're talking AJ Styles right now. Give us a call, 347-838-9815. That is the number to call. Let's go out to the phones. We got Rocky, who's been on hold for a bit. Rocky, how you doing this evening?
Doing fine, guys. How are you guys doing?
Doing all right, man. What do you got for us?
Well, first, before I go into AJ Styles, I just wanted to say, you know, all my best to the Hitman and his announcement, battling prostate cancer. If anyone can beat it, I think the excellence of execution, he's going to put up one hell of a fight.
Amen. Totally agree with you, man.
Now to the subject of AJ Styles, I definitely think, Ken, I think you hit it on the head. Let's go over some positives and negatives of the introduction of AJ Styles. First off, I thought the Rumble was great. I thought the Rumble match was well done. I thought that you got a couple of great bookings on it, but focusing on Styles, first off, I thought his elimination, because let's face it, just like the conundrum of if Daniel Bryan was in the Rumble, anyone who put him out was going to be booed incessantly. So, and maybe not to that degree, but the same could also be said of Styles, given his popularity, you know, on the independent circuit. That being said, having Kevin Owens throw him out, I thought that was perfect booking. It sets up one hell of of a rivalry. You know, perfect booking as far as, you know, face heel booking. That being said, going to the match on Raw, you know, absolutely, on paper, AJ Styles versus Jericho was a dream match to probably a lot of the WWE universe. And to those people out there in the internet wrestling community who say, you know, oh, it's Jericho's fault, the match didn't deliver, you know, hyping everything up on Jericho, disagree absolutely. It goes to whenever you have new talent, everyone always, you know, craps all over the fact they started on NXT. Oh, well, this guy is too good to start on NXT. Sometimes it's not about your level of skill, because I challenge you to look at the wrestling world and even in the business world. If somebody has, just for argument's sake, 20 years of experience, I don't care what business you're talking about. If you join a new group, you still have to acclimate to the way they do things. No matter your skill level, no matter your competency, you still have to acclimate. And in this case, I think it showed itself. You know, in my mind, it's no doubt Chris Jericho can still go. He's demonstrated that time and time again. You know, is he the Jericho of, you know, early 2000 or late 90? No. But has he lost that much of a step that he can't put on a 4 to 5 star match? I don't think so. And to me, this was simply a miscommunication of styles or the way they do things. And that, you know, that's why I got to go with what you say, Ken. Back in the day, before NXT, you had guys who came up through OVW just to learn, not necessarily that they lacked skill or moveset, but you have to acclimate to the organization that you're going to wrestle for. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I mean, it's all good points. I mean, number one, I mean, you bring up a really, and that irritates me with fans, you know, and you hear it all the time. It's, you know, it's funny. If John Cena, you know, it goes like John Cena's in a bad match, it's John Cena's fault. If he's in a good match, it's the other guy's the reason why he made John Cena look good. I don't think you can really get into the idea of blaming someone. Yeah, Jericho can still go. I think Jericho, you know, for the first time recently is really starting to look his age. I thought he looked a little older on Monday Night Raw. To Dave's point, he did go, you know, almost an hour in the Rumble. It, you know, maybe it was just that. But to point the finger either way that it was Jericho's fault, it was AJ's fault, I think that's unfair to both of them. The match just didn't live up to it. You know, we all know sometimes it's, you know, I guess it could be one person's fault. Sometimes it's just you don't have in-ring chemistry. Sometimes it's, you know, it's just an off night. I mean, who knows? Like I said, maybe it was AJ's nerves. You know, I don't want to get into that blame game, but it is something, you know, and it's one of those things that I didn't really think about, and I get swept up with it, and I think a lot of fans do, where you hear about these names coming over, and you look at, like, NXT as, like, the minor leagues. You know, WWE main roster is the majors, and you know, NXT is the minor leagues. And a lot of fans, again, including myself, when certain names you hear the WWE is interested in, like a Samoa Joe, you know, and they come over, and it's like they're going to NXT. And you're getting that, like, they shouldn't be going to NXT. They deserve to be on the main roster. They've earned their spot on the main roster. And there is that mindset, and I get that. But, you know, is it something, and I think it's going to be interesting to see how AJ evolves. You know, we could see, like, AJ could come out tonight and have a 5-star match, and we realized last week was just a hiccup. But if we do see over the course of the next few weeks where AJ is just not quite right or his matches are just a little bit off, you start to wonder, like, could the NXT thing have been a better idea for him just to kind of get his feet under him? Because you can't really drop an AJ Styles. You know, you can't now, you know, if he has let's go the negative route. He has a horrible first month in the WWE. You can't drop him down to NXT now. You know, you can't unring that bell. You put him on the main roster. So, you know, it's just one of those things where I'm curious to see how it evolves because that's the opposite end of the coin. We all want to see these guys come out on the main roster, But even though they're highly skilled individuals, they might not be acclimated to how the WWE does things. So I think it's just after seeing what happened, where I do think that Jericho is still very skilled. And when you see something like that happen where it's just not a good match, to me it's just I'm just very curious now to see how the AJ Styles character evolves and how he evolves in a WWE ring. Dave, your thoughts on what Rocky had to say?
Well, he makes a great point in the fact that, in business and any aspect of life, if you're a newcomer or newbie, you're going to have to get acclimated to that organization or that surroundings way of doing things. And I think I think there's a lot of different things that attribute to maybe the reason why Styles didn't have a great match with Jericho on Monday. I think it's a combination of things, but I do think that, and it's one of the things that kind of worried me, is that is Styles going to be able to adapt to the WWE style of wrestling? I think what's going to help him, to be honest with you, is working with guys that he's very familiar with. Because there's a rumor that Samoa Joe is allegedly supposed to be called up to the main roster as early as the night after WrestleMania on the huge Monday Night Raw that follows WrestleMania. So we know the history the two of them have together, not only just working in TNA, but the matches that they've had in TNA. That could be something that could help AJ working with somebody who's very familiar with. But I think, in all honesty, we could talk, we could speculate about it, but I think it's really too early to tell. And I'm just very optimistic that things are going to go well for him. But it would not surprise me any bit whatsoever if his run here in WWE in the next few months doesn't live up to what many fans expected him to. And he wouldn't be the first person to do that. With the other individual that we've talked about, Chris Jericho, when he first started in 99, everyone expected him to do amazing things when he first started, and it took him a while to get out of the blocks too. So just take that into account when you're talking about the progression or possibly lack thereof progression of AJ Styles in WWE.
Yeah, definitely. And along Dave's vein, I got to agree with him that, maybe it's obviously too early to make the call. However, to help AJ Styles acclimate, to pull up Samoa Joe and have some kind of three-way dance between him, AJ, and Kevin Owens, I think you definitely have a formula for some entertaining matches right there. That being said, the other aspect of Raw that I just wanted to bring up, and it's something that we've brought up before, and this is me being, the eternal optimist here, was Rock's segment. Specifically the point where he said, we're going to go off script. And I don't think it could be argued that point of, up to that point was probably one of the most entertaining points of the whole show. And you hope that in some way, shape, or form, it kind of gets through Vince's skull that, he has a couple of guys with boatloads of talent. I'm sure some of them are creative than others, but being the fact that the WWE right now, as far as you're talking sales, you're talking exposure and whatnot, is top of the mountain, and no one's going to come close to that in the foreseeable future, you have room to experiment. You have room to let the leash off these guys and say, look, come up with what you think. Some of the stuff may sink, some of the stuff may swim. And just let it be entertaining TV.
I just think, it's nice that you're optimistic. I don't think that the reins are going to come off anytime soon. I think what's going on right now in the WWE, and it might be, it's twofold. I mean, it's good using real life examples to move these things forward. But at my job, I'll say a lot of us that work there joke all the time that our catchphrase is it's easier to ask for forgiveness than permission. If we ask to do something new or something different, 9 chances out of 10, we're either told no flat out, or we just have obstacles put in our way. At times, we'll just do things and then hope we don't get in trouble for doing them. And generally, it'll turn out okay, but if we ask, it's usually a no. And I think that's part of it with the WWE, that not only is it Vince, wanting everything to be scripted and just being this well-oiled machine, you don't have a lot of stars that have the balls to say, hey, I'm on live TV with a live mic. They can't do anything to stop me at this point and just kind of go off and do their own thing. You're taking a chance because, there's no WCW. There's no, hey, well, if I get fired here, I'll just go, wherever. So there is that, kind of less of a likelihood for anybody to say, you know what, I know Vince wants me to do this, but I'm going to go out there and I'm going to take a chance tonight because I think this will work for my character. And I don't think you're going to see that. And I do admire your optimism, Rocky, but I get it. Yeah, I mean, anytime The Rock's there and you wonder how often he is completely on script, but even acknowledging it last week, but I don't see things changing. I really don't. I'd love to be wrong, but I don't see things changing and seeing people getting a little more creative freedom. What about you, Dave? Are you there, Dave?
I'm sorry. I thought you were referring to Rocky.
No, I said Dave. What are your thoughts on that?
My thoughts on repeat that again. My apologies.
On Rocky's comment on getting more freedom and guys going off script on a more regular basis because
I think it's a great idea, but I don't think it's going to happen. I mean, you got to remember guys that were going off script and having a little more creative freedom in WWE were the company was not also not a publicly traded company at that time. Now it's a publicly traded company. They answer to investors and shareholders. And just for instance, tell you an example, I can't imagine WWE creative or even Vince McMahon going to the shareholders and saying, hey, listen, John Cena's character is really stale right now. So we need to kind of loosen the reins up on a little bit with him and turn him into a bad guy. What do you think about that? And then the shareholders come back and say, well, in this quarter, you guys made X, Y, and Z on merchandise with John Cena and in the ratings and at the quarter hour ratings. He bumped them up by 5%, and we're gonna, you know what I mean? Like, it's a different world. It's no longer a wrestling company anymore. It's a television show. So I don't think that kind of stuff's gonna change anytime soon. Will they get a little more? I think they'll give a little bit of leeway, but you're not gonna get total creative freedom from guys anymore. I think at some point, once Vince isn't fully in charge, that you'll see guys getting a little more creative leeway and freedom to develop their characters in order for them to come across as organic on television.
That's a good point.
All right, Rocky, thanks for the phone call. Good stuff, as always. I look forward to talking to you next week. Have a good one, man.
Thanks, guys. You too.
Take it easy, brother. Now let's stick with the phones and go back out. We got Mike on the line. Mike, how you doing this evening?
Good, man, good. Just listening to what Rocky had to say, and you know what, he's right on a lot of points. But the one thing about AJ Styles is he's the first wrestler in a long time that they just brought up.
I'm sorry, I'm just a little bit of breaking news. According to PW Insider, WWE Hall of Famer Robert Blackjack Mulligan Windham has been hospitalized in Florida. Son-in-law Mike Rotunda, along with his grandsons Bray Wyatt and Bo Dallas, have left WWE Raw in Alabama to be with him. Right now they're saying they don't know what his condition is at the time, but Bray and Bo Dallas will not be on Raw this evening, and obviously, all of us here, all the best out to Blackjack Mulligan. Sorry, Mike.
No, it's all right. It's sad. Anytime you have to interrupt me about breaking news, it's fine. It's just sad. But before I go on with that, I want to talk about the Hitman. I'm really sad about the Hitman. My dad has prostate cancer, and the doctors told my dad that he would most likely die from something else than prostate cancer. So hopefully, Brett, like I said, Bret Hart can fight. And I tweeted to Brett, and I emailed Brett, and he emailed me back, and he thanked me for emailing him and getting in touch with him. And I was supposed to have Brett on my show, but he's going to have to reschedule. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's sad, but I mean, you know, it's something that, you know, if anyone can fight through it, it's Brett, and continue to send him well wishes. That's cool. So your thoughts, though? Yeah. You know, we're talking a lot about fantasy booking, little AJ style. What did you think of the AJ Styles Chris Jericho match last week?
I thought it was good. I thought there was just a little small little stub, but I thought it was good. I thought both men did great. I thought Chris Jericho and AJ wrestled their asses off. I mean, AJ Styles is here now. You know, he's got to prove himself to the WWE, you know, internet community or whatever. But I think he's great. I think he's working. I think he's phenomenal. You know, don't forget, too, he's got to come back from the – now he's faced now. When he was a New Japan wrestler, pro wrestler, he was heel. He's got to work face, and I think he's good. I think Jericho worked good. I you know, I wish they would sign another match for Fastlane between these two. You know, and then I heard Rocky talk about a rivalry maybe between him and Owens, you know, out of the Royal Rumble. Don't forget, Sami Zayn wants a piece of Kevin Owens, so he might have to get on line. Then I had a friend of mine that works for the E! Tell me today that they might be planning a match for The Undertaker, and it might be Jericho.
That's interesting.
I dig. I would dig Jericho. I would dig Jericho and Undertaker. I think that'd be cool.
He told me about Strowman, which he told me he hates, and he told me that WWE creative right now is they're thinking about either Strowman or they're thinking about Jericho, just because Jericho hasn't had, you know, a WrestleMania match with The Undertaker. But you know, it's just amazing. Like today, I watched WrestleMania 7, and to see The Undertaker versus Jimmy Snuka, you know, to breathe it in once again, to feel it. I mean, I remember when I was a kid seeing that, you know, seeing that on pay-per-view, but to watch it today on the network, I was like, wow. It's like, you know, it's like you can sense the people were cheering for Undertaker. Some of the kids were scared. Well, people were kind of cheering for Undertaker because back then you didn't know what he was going to do. And to see The Undertaker still here today is unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, it's incredible. And he's like, you know, that last, you know, link to, you know, a much different era. You know, I mean, you got a guy like in The Undertaker that, you know, has a link back to the Hulk Hogan era, the WWE. He lived through the Attitude era. Now he's in the PG era. I mean, he's a guy that's you know, lived through a lot, seen the evolution of the business, and to still be standing and doing this is you know, it's pretty incredible. It's
yeah.
Amazing what he's done in this this business.
He also lived through the Bad Gimmicks era on WCW, NWA.
He lived through a lot. I mean, there's no
lot
doubt about it.
Yeah, a lot of bad gimmicks, though, over there.
The business.
Yeah, a lot of bad gimmicks over there with WCW and NWA. And I remember when he was mean, Mark Calloway, or Callis, something like that. And I remember when he wrestled, different matches. And it's amazing when guys still talk to me about The Undertaker today. E. Brian Blair told me a funny story to him, and I thought he was making fun of his. He said, oh, he's got a, I said, what do you think of The Undertaker? He said, oh, he's got a great, you know, a great, what do you call it, golf swing. And I was like, oh, maybe he's making fun of his last name. He's like, no, I used to golf with him and Brian Adams, who was Crush. I'm like, wow, you guys golf together? He goes, yeah. I said, I never knew The Undertaker golf. He said there's a lot of things you probably never knew about the Undertaker.
So we haven't gotten into it yet, and we might as well kind of jump off with you. What are your thoughts on the triple threat match going in Fastlane?
I think it's going to be crazy. I think there's going to be a lot of interference. I think Interference City, I think. I mean, you know, Brock Lesnar is probably going to be targeted by the Wyatts. And Roman Reigns is probably going to walk out the winner. I don't see if anybody's going to win this match, it's going to be him, because then that'll set up for that. I heard a rumor that The Rock might wrestle with his cousins against the New Day.
It's possible. I mean, I guess anything is possible. There's rumors that he might be in Reigns' corner, but what you saw last week on Monday Night Raw, I mean, you know, why not either, you know, a six-man tag or
right.
He's in the Usos' corner, but, you know, who knows what they're going to do with The Rock.
How much hot water is he in, though, you think, with the WWE?
I don't think a lot. I mean, you know, I think it's one of those things where, like, you know, The Rock, obviously, he wants to be there. He enjoys it. But if Vince came out and was like, you can't do that. We're not going to use you anymore. The Rock would be like, all right, then I'm leaving. You know, like, I don't think The Rock, like, I think The Rock cares. But it's like if Vince comes and says, you can't do that, The Rock's going to be like, yeah, I can. I'm The Rock. I can do whatever I want. You want me here? You know, The Rock's got to be The Rock. That's why you bring him back. You know, you can't bring back The Rock and bring him back as a watered-down version of The Rock. So if you're going to give him a live mic and let him be that character, you know, it's almost like, which is funny, that Rock kind of has, you know, Vince painted into a corner. Like, he knows that if you want me there, you got to let me do what I want to do. So I don't think he was really in. I think it's one of those things where, like, people probably weren't happy with it, but he didn't get in any trouble. Nobody came to him and said, you shouldn't have done that.
I heard Vince reamed them out for it. Actually, my friend today was telling me that Vince was yelling at him and told him, you know, you've got to shape up. That's what I heard. I mean, I don't know how true it is because I'm not there. That's what I heard, though, right? He told The Rock, you got to shape up because, you know, your mouth is going to get you in trouble. That's what I heard.
Okay.
That's what I heard. I mean, my friend who works for the team told me today that's one of the things he told me. He told me about, we talked about The Rock today. He told me about Wale, which I already knew about him. You know, he gave me some scoops and little scoops that I might have not, you know, I might have missed. He said to me that he can hear Vince screaming at The Rock because he didn't like what he was saying.
I mean, it's possible. I mean, I can't say that, like, it's, like, out of the realm of possibilities that Vince would yell at The Rock.
Well, that's what he told me. That's what my friend told me. I don't know how true it is. I wasn't there. But he said to me, Mike, you could not believe the things that Vince said to The Rock. He said to the point that everybody was like, are you serious?
Well, it's crazy. I mean, we'll see what happens. You know, he gets to WrestleMania and The Rock is jobbing out to Kalisto, then we know maybe he did get in trouble from Vince.
Hey, The Rock might not even be there at WrestleMania, I heard, too, because something about a movie commitment.
I heard that, I think he's supposed to be there now. I mean, I heard initially that he may have had a movie commitment, but I think that's all, it's all squared away, and I'd be pretty surprised if he's not at WrestleMania this year.
I wish they would bury the hatchet with Hogan and bring Hogan back. I wish they would just get it done and say, you know what, Hulk, we want you back. I mean, it's not the same. WrestleMania is not going to be the same without Hogan.
Now you're preaching to the choir. I think it's downright silly. And like we've said before, it's a slippery slope when you start pulling guys out.
That's all right. Now he can charge $500 for an autograph. You know,
as always, good stuff, Mike, thanks for the phone call, and we'll talk to you again next week.
I'll see you guys later. Hey, Dave, I'm glad I can make you laugh, brother. Take it easy.
Take it easy. And, yeah, maybe Vince is yelling at Rock. Who the heck knows? I know, but we talked a little bit about the triple threat match going into Fastlane, and You know, I did think actually, like, amidst all that like, kind of kookiness that we've grown to know and love from Mr. Mike, it was a good point. Like, we might be we might not be headed to Suplex City, but we might be headed to Interference City. Oh, and you look at this triple threat match, the potential of, you know, members of the Authority, supporters of the Authority, and, you know, could the Wyatts go after Brock Lesnar? So there is a lot of potential to, you know, see a lot of plunder, if you will, in this matchup. I don't know. Again, I go back to, like, listen to last week's show if you haven't, but we did a lot last week on, you know, is it time to pull the plug on the Roman Reigns experiment? And from what I've seen out of him, now I get it. Likelihood, logic, take all the crowd out of it, and I'm just writing a script. I get it. Yeah, Reigns comes out of that, the victor. Now he's going up against the big bad boss who directly screwed him over to get that belt at the biggest show of the year. I get all of that. However, it's just, you know, the character at best has been up and down. It looked like they were moving in a decent direction as far as building Reigns back up, but I don't know if it ever quite got there. And I don't know if you've gotten Reigns to the point where he's that face that you want to go up against the ultimate quote-unquote evil in Triple H at WrestleMania. I don't know. Like I said, logic and storytelling, and Reigns comes out victorious. I don't know. Ambrose might be the logical choice right now because his character's over. Do I think right now that Ambrose is ready to be main eventing WrestleMania going after the WWE Championship? I can't say I'd bet my lunch money on that. I'm not 100% sure that he's ready. You know, Brock's ready, but do we want to see Brock Triple H again? I don't know. There's a lot of things with this triple threat match, Dave, that kind of, you know, leave you scratching your head a little bit.
That's another idea I didn't really care for, and here's why. First of all, for the weeks leading up to the Royal Rumble and at the Royal Rumble, the Authority had gone out of their way to screw Roman Reigns, and successfully doing so by making sure he didn't leave the Royal Rumble match the WWE champion. Now, yes, did at one time during that match, he was taken out of the match and attacked, yes, but his elimination, you can't technically say he was screwed in a sense by his actual elimination from the match because Hunter legally eliminated. Hunter was a legal entrant in the Royal Rumble, and he legally eliminated Roman Reigns. But needless to say, the overall attempt itself was to make sure that Reigns didn't leave the champion. Okay, and they successfully completed that task from start to finish. Triple H, new WWE World Heavyweight Champion. Roman Reigns, the loser, lost his title. Okay, so the next night on Raw, Hunter decides that he's the only one good enough to hold the championship, cuts a really good heel promo. I thought it really got some good heat on him, which helped in for Reigns' cause. By the way, I will say my brother, Justin, he was at both the Royal Rumble and Monday Night Raw in Orlando and Miami back-to-back. In Orlando, the whole crowd was – I wouldn't say the whole crowd, but the majority of the crowd was not in favor of Roman Reigns. The next night in Miami, they were almost like 100% behind him. It's really weird, the dynamic between the audience and – you know, some of the guys like Reigns and Cena. But needless to say, they set this up where we're going to find out the main event of Fastlane, okay? And everybody on the roster has got to impress in order to set up the main event to determine the number one contender for the WWE Championship at WrestleMania. Well, if you're the Authority, okay, and you went out of your way to screw Triple H, or to screw Roman Reigns and Triple H become the WWE champion, why would you award Roman Reigns a WWE title shot pay-per-view? I don't get it. I honestly don't get it, okay? And I understand why they put Ambrose in there, because I think that the fans nowadays, they're kind of smart to the booking in a sense. They'll look at – I originally think that they wanted to do Reigns and Lesnar because it's a big money match, and the success of the match that they had at WrestleMania last year, they want to kind of piggyback off of that for Fastlane. I think that was the original plan. I think Ambrose was a last-minute decision. The reason why I think Ambrose was a last-minute decision, because of his performance in the Rumble and the reaction that he got being one of the final two with Triple H at the end. And plus, he's also an internet guy. So they're trying to cater to the internet fans so that the whole match between Lesnar and Reigns isn't totally crapped on by the audience. I think that's why they went that route. I just don't – I'm not intrigued by it. There's no predictability. It's super predictable. There's no unpredictability in the outcome of this match whatsoever. I think we're going to see Wyatt interference. I think we're going to see, you know, Reigns and Ambrose come down to the two of them at the end. I mean, I just don't – sorry, I don't see the intrigue in that match whatsoever. I mean, and technically, with Reigns losing the title, isn't he granted an automatic rematch for the title? Why does he have to defend his – why does he have to go after a number one contender spot again? Or is that just their way of trying to screw with him even more by making him fight for it again? I don't know. I just think that the logics in the booking when it comes to the Reigns and the Authority has just been a huge roller coaster ride. They announced him being in the Royal Rumble match defending the title up until last week. I can't fathom to think what they're thinking right now heading into WrestleMania. If they think that they're going to get a positive reaction for Roman Reigns against Triple H, I mean, if the Orlando audience was smart and they were cheering Triple H, we all know what WrestleMania crowds are like. That's like an internet wet dream right there, you know, with the fans from overseas and the internet crowd at these WrestleManias. They go out of their way to hijack the show and let their feelings know, you know, let their feelings be known what they think of the creative. They're definitely going to do that if it's Triple H and Reigns straight up in a one-on-one.
Yeah, just, I mean, nothing really made sense. I mean, and look, it's pro wrestling, so we get it. Like, you can change things. A lot of times you can bend rules, you can make rules up. I get all that. But the fact that they just didn't do anything, like you said, so Reigns is owed a title shot technically because we all know, and again, we know, we get it. It's pro wrestling, but, you know, the champion, there's a rematch clause. We all know it. You know, since I started watching wrestling in the 80s, I know, God damn it, there's always a rematch clause. Now, the thing is, like, you could have just had, like, one line, Triple H or Stephanie, you know, and because you're defending your title in the Rumble, we are rescinding your rematch clause. So if you lose the Rumble, you get no rematch. Whatever the case is, I mean, make something up why there's no rematch clause. But the fact that you just glaze over it is like, you know, all right, why now? Why does he have to, like, you pretend that doesn't happen, even though we've known forever that a champion always gets a return match. You know, you also could have had, you know, maybe Reigns said something like, you know, he wants to have his match, his automatic rematch at WrestleMania. And maybe, but like, he says that after the Authority puts together a number one contender matchup without him involved. And then you wind up making it a triple threat match. Because then Reigns like, no, I'm going to WrestleMania, and now I'm invoking my rematch clause. Whatever the case is, it's just, you know, consistency in storytelling, consistency in booking, it just, a lot of it is kind of muddied. We get back to that word, a fair word here, a little bit muddied. And, you know, yeah, it's just one of those things where I think, you know, when you say, Dave, it's pretty clear, like, you just think that Reigns is going to win, but, you know, is that the right move for WrestleMania? And will they pull something different out for that match give us something? The weird thing is that when you look at a Brock Lesnar match, I really think looking at the three of them, and we'll get into our predictions, you know, at our pre-show, but I look at that, I'm like, I don't think Lesnar has a prayer. I think that one thing you could bet money on is that the Wyatts will come down. They're going to really screw over Brock, and that's going to be Brock's road to WrestleMania, and that's the way where he's not going to be focused on the title anymore. He's going to be focused elsewhere. So it's definitely going to come down to Ambrose and Reigns kind of having to go after each other. But I don't know. I just don't know if even myself, and we haven't been Reigns haters here, but I don't even know if I want to see Reigns going after the belt again this year at WrestleMania.
I mean, all right. We've been talking about, do we end the Roman Reigns experiment? We even talked about the possibility of The Rock being in his corner. I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'll give you my prediction for Fastlane right now. I think Roman Reigns is winning. By hook or by crook, he's going to get to WrestleMania and challenge Triple H for the title. Okay? I'll give you that prediction. I may change my mind depending on how the booking goes in the next few weeks, but nonetheless, that's my prediction right now. I'm predicting that The Rock's going to be in his corner, okay? But if you want that babyface reaction, if you're really going to stick with him and go with the plan is to make him the number one good guy, then you put him in Triple H in the main event at WrestleMania for the title. With The Rock in Triple H or Reigns' corner, Triple H will have Vince and Stephanie in his corner. You make Steve Austin the special guest referee. Really make – you got to add a lot to this match to really get people to want to see it, okay? Stuff like that takes place. Somehow during the match, if you really want the reaction you want for Roman Reigns as a babyface, you somehow insert Daniel Bryan into the picture, the most over guy that's not currently on the active roster right now. Let's say, for argument's sake, the League of Nations or hell, even the Click, okay, they get involved and somehow they neutralize The Rock. And then Shawn Michaels gets involved and knocks out Steve Austin, makes himself the guest referee. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, Daniel Bryan comes out, enters the fray to help The Rock thwart off the Click and to help neutralize so that Reigns eventually gets the win over Triple H. That's Vince McMahon and WWE creative practically begging the internet wrestling community to boo Daniel Bryan for being associated with Roman Reigns. You're either going to boo Daniel Bryan for being associated with Roman Reigns or you're going to cheer the scenario and Reigns comes out the victor. And Daniel Bryan raises his hand at the end of WrestleMania, standing tall as the WWE champion. That's, I think, the last ditch effort that they can pull to make Roman Reigns the number one babyface by associating him with Daniel Bryan. And then at the end, you have Reigns turn on Daniel Bryan and go complete full heel.
Yeah, I mean, that wouldn't be a bad deal, you know, especially if you want to get Roman Reigns to be a you know, a white-hot heel, have him turn on Daniel Bryan, and that'd help. I mean, again, it's like it's so tough with Daniel Bryan. Like, you know, and I get it. As much as I want to see the guy back on TV, you got to use him, you know, exactly the right way in at the right event because, you know, at this point, like, you know, these fans, these crowds, it's, you know, if Daniel Bryan loses anything at any point in time, you know, it's like they're going to crap all over it. So, you got to use him the right way, and if he actually helps Reigns and then Reigns turns on him, that could be intriguing stuff. That could be something that's interesting. But, again, it's like, you know, Dave, you're coming up with this, like, all these, like, plans and these, you know, all this stuff that you have to put together, and it's just kind of one of those things where I find myself thinking, you know, is, and I know it sounds horrible, but it's like, is Reigns worth it? Is Reigns, are you so invested in this guy being the guy that you have to, like, you know, you have to go get Rock and Austin and you have to do all this stuff, you know, or is it time to look elsewhere as far as a guy? And I don't know if I have the answer, but I do find myself wondering, you know, is this guy really worth doing all of that or is it time to just look elsewhere? And I don't think there's a simple answer there. And I agree with you. I'm leaning towards Reigns winning the triple threat. Do you think there's any way that Ambrose wins that triple threat?
I think if he does win it, it's because they have soured on the idea of Reigns heading into WrestleMania as the challenger. Or they do it to throw us fans off and be like, ah, we got you. We're not exactly going the way you thought we did. And then somehow Ambrose and Reigns have a rematch the next night on Raw to determine who faces Triple H. Maybe there's some sort of weird finish at the end where it's very controversial. Ambrose wins, but he's going to defend the title shot, the number one contender spot, against Reigns the next night on Raw, and then that's how you set it up.
Yeah, dude, though, if Ambrose wins, like, the number one contendership out of the triple threat and then has to put it on the line the next night and loses it, people are just going to hate Reigns. It's going to be even more difficult to get him over as a top babyface.
That's true, too.
It's just intriguing stuff right now. When you look at, again, like I said at the top of the show, and it's going to be fun stuff over the next few weeks, with the injuries, with the up and down nature of the Roman Reigns experiment, you know, this WrestleMania, looking for it to be the biggest one ever, where do they go? Who's getting booked where? It's going to be intriguing to see what happens. The Beast Incarnate to be on Monday Night Raw tonight. Curious what him or his advocate, Paul Heyman, have to say tonight. Get on our Facebook page, facebook.com/TheKenReedyShow. We will have the Raw chat going on tonight for Raw. Callers, listeners, thank you all for supporting the show. You guys were awesome. Have a great night. We'll see you next week. For Dave, I am Ken. Good night, everybody.